health and wellness of your employees and your surrounding community has been at the forefront of business owners and managers' minds for the last 4 years. How has the High Country responded to the healthcare needs of its evolving population? Join us as we ask the question, what's going on with healthcare in the High Country? From the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce, this is Mind Your Business.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, providing professional commercial real estate services. Visit AppalachianCRE.com.
Hello and welcome into Mind Your Business. I'm David Jackson, President and CEO of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for joining us once again. This program presented to you each week by our friends at Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Thank you for the downloads, the subscriptions, comments, likes, the stars, all of the things. We remind you that you can subscribe to this program wherever you get your podcast. We'll bring you weekly business news that you can use from right here in the mountains of Northwest North Carolina. Hard to believe, right? It's been 4 years. 4 years ago this week, our worlds changed. I remember going to a meeting at Blue Ridge Energy here in Watauga County. It was about funding opportunities for the Middle Fork Greenway on Friday, March 13th, 2020. We all said goodbye that day, not knowing what the world would look like when we came back to work that following Monday. Later on that Friday, the COVID story would begin to be unraveled. Executive orders, school closures, essential work designations, remember those? All of these items changed the way we worked for years, and some have still not even fully recovered from those impacts. Yet, here we are. We are resilient by nature, especially here in the mountains of Northwest North Carolina. And today, our economy is performing once again. Now, not without its inflationary struggles, workforce and housing challenges, childcare issues, etc. But we are here. And we can likely admit that the way that we do what we do has changed over time. Said another way, there are items that business owners and managers are dealing with now that were not prevalent or maybe not even in our vocabulary 4 years ago. After things got a little bit more normal again, we met new disruptions, like what happened when a staff member tested positive for COVID, especially back in those early return to work days. That could mean an immediate business closure, isolation of staff. You remember all of those things. We saw a good number of employees even defer routine healthcare maintenance back in the days where going to a medical facility seemed risky because of transmission of not only COVID, but all of the other illnesses that were kind of kept at bay there for a little while. They started coming back around each other, and the last place you wanted to be was the doctor's office for fear of catching all of those things. My point on this rant and recount is that as managers, we are thinking about the health and well-being of our employees at an operational level much more than we used to. Now, humor me here. Answer this question, of course, to yourself because we can't hear your response, but answer this. How many of you have seen a modification to the just gut through it policy around your workplaces, considering illnesses among staff members in the office? That coworker that comes in with the quote unquote sinus issues, do you pay more attention or even recommend remote work for that employee a little quicker than you used to? Is that because the pandemic showed us what large-scale business disruption looks like from a health and well-being standpoint? Now, in our office, we have this unwritten rule. If you have something, keep it to yourself, and we'll figure out a way to cover the workload while you rest up. It's a luxury, I'll admit, that we have, and many other businesses do not, but it's born from not wanting to revert to the days of your whole staff being knocked out because one person fell ill. Plus, I also think we're just simply more mindful of each other's circumstances now than we were 4 years ago. And I'm not suggesting with that people didn't care about their employees then. They sure did. But for the better part of a year, remember that we were frequent visitors, albeit virtual guests, in each other's living rooms, kitchens, second grade classrooms. We saw our staff for the people they were outside of the office in a way we never could have before. And maybe that was the first time we truly thought about the ramifications of an employee's health, well-being, or illness outside of our own workplace. So where am I going with all of this? Wouldn't I like to know? In all seriousness, all of these challenges have presented an opportunity to change the way we think about health and wellness, individually, for our families, and for our businesses. To be our best, we need to be surrounded by the best resources. For UNC Health Appalachian, formerly Appalachian Regional Healthcare System, that means evolving to meet the rapidly changing real-time needs of the High Country community. Specialty care, state-of-the-art facilities, just simple upgrades to aging infrastructure means better care, quicker recovery, and hopefully less disruption. 4 years ago, give or take, the system made a huge bet on itself. Proceed with an ambitious fundraising campaign and eventual build-out of what we now know as the Schaefer Family Patient Care Tower, just as the economy was beginning to vigorously wobble due to the pandemic. While many were forced to retreat during those days, away from large projects and capital improvements, UNC Health Appalachian doubled down. They bought steel, trusted their instincts and guidance, and came out of the pandemic with a reimagined physical response to the healthcare needs of the High Country. New specialty practices, remodeled facilities, expanded capacity for surgery, all of the things that are necessary to keep a community healthy, and areas of our healthcare landscape that many of us had to interact with during a time where the need for efficiency and safety may have been at its highest point in our lifetimes. So this week on Mind Your Business, we're pleased to be joined by Chuck Mantooth. He is the president and CEO of UNC Health Appalachian as we discuss what's going on with healthcare in the High Country. Where are we now? How has the system evolved for our benefit? How are they able to staff based on those additions, residency programs, bed towers, future vision? We're going to tackle it all in our visit coming up here in just a few minutes. First, quick sponsors shout out time. You know the drill. Appalachian Commercial Real Estate solves simple and complex commercial real estate problems here in the Boone area and beyond. Whether you own or lease commercial real estate, regardless of the property type, have an advocate on your side, along with expertise and experience to assist you and your business. For more information, check out the website, appalachiancre.com. Some event-related news, the 8th Annual 4 Under 40 Awards, just over a month away. We will host those on the 24th of April at the Appalachian Theater in beautiful downtown Boone. Last week, we announced the finalists for the 8th Annual 4 Under 40 Awards. You can check out that full list at boonechamber.com. A fantastic group of honorees this time around. And remember, we'll highlight one winner in each of our respective categories. That's business owner, rising star, nonprofit professional, and education professional. Again, you can check out those list of finalists at boonechamber.com. Make plans to join us Wednesday, April 24th from 5:30 to 7:30 for the 8th Annual 4 Under 40 Awards. Tickets, of course, they're $39 because that's under 40. See what we did there? I know, you leave us to creativity. You just never know what you get here at the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. But make sure you attend that event. Help us recognize the emerging leaders of our High Country community. All right, time to get into it. We resume the What's Going On With series as we ask what's going on with healthcare of Chuck Mantooth, president and CEO of UNC Health Appalachian. He's our guest on this week's Mind Your Business.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, offering sales, leasing, consulting, and appraisal services. Visit appalachiancre.com.
We are pleased to be joined today by Chuck Mantooth, the president and CEO of UNC Health Appalachian, longtime guest on the program. Chuck, welcome back to Mind Your Business.
Great. Thanks to be here, David. It's a great day in Boone.
You are definitely in like the gold circle of past guests here on the program. And great opportunity for us to kind of revisit some pretty important projects that the healthcare system has undertaken in the last several years. I think it's easy to point toward the Schaefer Family Patient Care Tower as one of those top projects because it's so visible within our community each and every day. But it's been open now for coming up on a year in the not too distant future. What has that facility been able to do for the system itself and for your operations at Watauga Medical Center to continue to improve the care that you seek to give to patients here in the area?
Yeah, for us, it's just the real winners are the public, our patients. And you know, it's always good to start there. We just to kind of quantify that. We actually track our patient satisfaction scores. And we saw a dramatic bump in March of last year when we opened the tower. And we've continued that trend really for almost a year. That's great that you remember. We opened it late March last year. So we're almost to the point where we can celebrate 1 year being in that building. But, you know, back to that point, that the patient satisfaction scores, when we compare ourselves across the country, it puts us in really the top 10% in the country. That's what that building means. Patients love it. Our staff loves it. Our providers love it. It's got great views, you know, in the middle of a great town and great area. So why we don't want folks to be sick, but when they're sick, we want them to be in a good place and have good aesthetics, and the patients and the staff get a lift from being up there. So it's just been a great thing. Also, I will go on to say it's a lot more reliable. We had a 55-year-old building before with, you know, that would spring leaks every now and then. It's a lot more reliable than it used to be. So a lot of happy folks around here.
Yeah, and I think that's something to build off of. As a lot of people that listen to this podcast have businesses of their own, they understand what operational efficiency means. It's something different maybe than the front-facing element of your business. It's that back-end, back-of-house ability to understand that you can do business as efficiently as you would like to do. And some people have that. Some people build for that in mind. How has this facility helped the system run more efficiently based on how you're able to position things, how your staff is able to move around and some of those type of things?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll start with a little bit of a chuckle one, but the biggest hit in that patient tower has been Birdie's Coffee. So a shout out to the local coffee company, and, you know, it's brought coffee a lot closer to the staff and the patients. It is funny. Some of the lower acuity patients that come into our emergency department, a lot of times we'll call that we've been focused on trying to get them back really, really quick. And we'll get them back before their coffee's ready. So they'll want to wait and say, no, I got to grab my coffee before I go back to the ED. But on a serious note, I think if I look at the umbrella of investments that we've made, the board's made over the last probably 3 to 4 years, the one that's probably had the most dramatic impact on efficiency is our investment in Epic. And I know when we talk about access maybe a little bit later, we can share a little more details. But that's just made our processes with communicating between providers and staff, and staff to staff, and then our communication with the public is going to make a lot easier. That really has the potential. We invested $34 million there. That has the most potential to really create those efficiencies that you spoke of.
True story. I was going into the emergency room entrance the other day, and somebody, a friend of mine, saw me and said, hey, I saw you walking into the hospital. Everything okay? I said, I was just going to get a cup of coffee. True story. Honest to goodness. So yeah, you never know how people are entering the doors. Over there, true. For sure. Getting back to more serious conversations here about UNC Health Appalachian, you know, we have talked with you for years about the development of a residency program for primary care physicians and really placing that emphasis on getting docs in a rural setting and then hopefully being able to keep those folks servicing rural health outposts, whether that's here locally or other places throughout the state. How has the recruiting been for that? And what do you feel like this addition has meant for the development of this incredibly important part of the healthcare system's overall mission to the community?
It's been a game changer for us, David. I mean, I think you touched on a lot of the challenges that I think rural areas feel in regards to recruiting providers. Now, I will say that, you know, we're a rural area. We're classified as rural, but, you know, we've got a lot here to be proud of, you know, the university and obviously the beauty and things like that. But, you know, you drive 5-10 miles outside of Boone and it does feel rural. So it's hard to recruit providers that want to come and be a part of the community. That's been a game changer for us, as I mentioned, of our, just to give you a few numbers, almost half of the residents that we've trained over the last 3 years have decided to stay in this area. And that's really what we look for. If we were recruited, you know, in the normal sense and tried to pull someone here and having to offer them a bonus or of some sort to come and work here, we would have probably would have spent well over $1 million. So our investment in that residency program has been, I hate to overuse the word, but it really has been a game changer for us. I think we've found the secret sauce to getting folks that want to come, they have a heart for rural medicine. They want to practice in rural areas, and they've just found this to be home. So it's been a great thing for us to participate in. I will say also the ancillary benefit is that when you have to teach something, it just makes you better. So it's made us better in a lot of areas across our medical staff.
You know, kind of an aside to that, as you're recruiting employees, I would imagine that the hospital system is no different than any other business in our community where housing and childcare and some of those traditional workforce related barriers tend to be something else that you have to work through, not making things impossible, of course, but they are an extra challenge. How have you all worked through that from your staffing needs, not only with the residency program, but nurses and other staff members that you have throughout the system?
Yeah, we've tried to find some creative ways, David, and it's been it doesn't feel like we found like the one answer that's going to kind of get us all over the hump here. We're in the same boat as everyone here in the community, and you know it is a little bit disappointing and disturbing to know that you know these folks are probably of some of the higher paid folks that you would say, and they struggle to find a place that they can afford, and especially when they're competing against areas that are probably 30 miles from here. And that does make a huge difference. We are leaning into certain areas. You mentioned childcare. I'm not sure how public it is, but we've got some really good momentum in that childcare space that I think is going to at least potentially solve one of the problems that I think we've all struggled with as far as childcare here. Housing is going to be a little bit more difficult. We've got lots of ideas. We really haven't been able to find the right one that's going to get on top of it. But it's been a challenge for us, just like it has been for everyone else.
Well, certainly as you're able to recruit more employees, that means that you can always look at either enhancing current offerings that you have or getting into new spaces that maybe the system hasn't been in before. We know that specialized care is something that you have concentrated a lot on during your time in your role as president and CEO, and you've had some new practice locations within that too. How do you feel like that project, if you want to call it that, a long-term project, has been going to try to diversify even further the type of care that people can receive here on the mountain?
Yeah, the board made a commitment a few years ago and decided, you know, our strategy in this area and for us as a healthcare system was one to align with a larger healthcare system that really kind of gave us more tools in our toolkit. But at the base of those strategies, we're on two ends of the spectrum. One, we felt like that we've got to do more in the primary care areas to go upstream to try to give people access, be in charge of their own health, develop a greater healthcare knowledge on really kind of their own personal health. So we needed to do more in that space. But then on the other end too, we've got to continue to develop what we call a robust regional hospital. Our Watauga Medical Center functions as a regional hospital. We serve a population of about 250,000 people. And you're thinking, wait a second, we're 250,000 people. If you think all the way up to Virginia, you know, over into Tennessee, and really here in the high country, that there's a lot of folks to take care of. And to provide those robust regional services like a really progressive cardiology and oncology and orthopedics and general surgery programs, it takes volume. So we've got the volume here to do some really neat things. And we've been able to make those investments on both the robust regional side and then also in primary care. I think teamed up with, you know, our ability to recruit now and giving them the tools to reach folks and to function more efficiently using UNC Health app, the Epic computer system, it's just made us a lot more efficient on both ends of the spectrum.
Let us stop right there and take a quick break. More of our conversation with Chuck Mantooth still to come after this word from our sponsor.
Appalachian Commercial Real Estate provides professional commercial real estate services in the Boone area. They provide sales, leasing, consulting, and appraisal services to owners and users of commercial real estate. For more information, go to their website at AppalachianCRE.com.
Well, and certainly people know as much as anything that healthcare is a complicated business. It's something that we need to rely upon for our own healthcare needs, but certainly there's a business aspect to that gets more complicated, I'm sure, by the day for somebody in your position. Recent addition to this mix now is Medicaid expansion in North Carolina. I know it's only been a few months, but what have you seen open up for patients now that this very much talked about topic has now come to North Carolina and found its way to the healthcare business side of things?
Yeah, I always like to start with just stories that we've told over the past few years about families that would have to make a decision between maybe their own personal health care or food or some other things that are in life. And now that's kind of taken that one off the table for over 3,000 people in our area. I think we've identified early on that there were 8,000 people that would be eligible for Medicaid once it was expanded. And the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Cody Kinsley, has done a fantastic job getting ready for that December 1st timeline. And what we've seen is just a tremendous success in enrollment. So that merely means 3,000 people in our area don't have to worry at night about, okay, which thing do I put my money into, food or healthcare? And so that's taken off the table. But given that access, like I just mentioned earlier, the further we can go upstream, have a relationship with a primary care physician or the patient that now has the security of having insurance to support that, really is just going to improve health in this area. And that's, I'm looking forward. Hopefully we can get all 8,000 folks that are eligible enrolled in a short period of time.
You know, I know that businesses often talk about services and different benefits that they can allow for their employees. And that is as much a part of the retention game as anything for any business here in our community. Whether it's through Medicaid expansion, programs that you offer through the hospital system itself, how do you feel like businesses can best position local healthcare options in front of their employees right now, given all of the change that we've seen in the landscape in a positive way here in our community?
Yeah, you know, David, that one, just to maybe step back a second, one of the things that we've been struggling with among my peers, and we get together through the North Carolina Healthcare Association and talk about the cost of healthcare. That's obviously a difficult conversation because it's so complex, whether you're introduced pharmaceuticals and who's paying what and those type things. And then just really the cost of medical grade equipment, all those things. So we could have a long conversation about the cost of healthcare. But at the end of the day, what we have to do is work together on trying to drive that cost down, getting more people to spend time on their health up front so we can keep that cost, you know, of a disease progression, keep that cost down. So that's often had with, you know, understanding what insurance products are out there, the appropriate arrangement for deductibles and things like that that work for employers. On another note, you know, I know there's a lot of seasonal employees here, and presents an opportunity for Medicaid expansion. You know, that's where those folks could really benefit, even if an employer can't afford to offer health insurance in a seasonal environment. You know, there is an option here available. So I think it's just a mix of things. But at the end of the day, one of the things that is on my mind and on our peers' mind is how do we work to try to lower that cost of healthcare?
Well, certainly you have had quite a bit on your plate here over the last few years and getting a new bed tower constructed, a number of new practices realigned and in some cases relocated throughout the community. Simply ask, what's next now for UNC Health Appalachian? It always seems like you've got something on the front burner. What is the next project that maybe is a little down the line that you can give us a sneak peek into at this point?
Yeah, I think we're going to catch our breath for a little while. So we took on a lot. You know, we put in a new computer system and 6 months before that, opened a new building. About 2 years before that, we opened a behavioral health hospital in Linville that's, you know, had some tremendous success and been recognized across the state. I think what we're going to be locked in, at least for the next 12 months, is to really kind of leverage the investments that we've made and get you know, settled in, catch our breath. But I will tell you, the board, you know, they push the envelope quite a bit. They want to see us do new and greater things. I do think there's a tremendous opportunity for our employees around the childcare space, and I'm looking forward to maybe talking about that a little bit more in the future. A lot of folks for our organization and others are coming together in a collaborative way to do some great things here in the community around childcare. I do think that technology changes really, really fast. And we've got to make sure, even though we've got brand new ORs or brand new equipment, we've always got to be thinking about the next thing out there. One of the things that we found is that the ability to attract, you know, great surgeons and great clinicians here is to have really good equipment. So we want to make sure that we stay in that top half of competitive environment to make sure that we're attracting good folks here. So there's a few things that we're planning on right now, maybe a little premature, but maybe in 6 months we can get back together and talk about some of the things that we've done.
Well, we certainly welcome the opportunity to do that. But you bring up a fascinating point that I'd love to end on, and that's this idea that because you make an investment one day, The need is still out there to continue to look on the horizon for that next thing, as you just mentioned a moment ago. And I think sometimes businesses get caught in that struggle of, we're going to put a lot of capital behind a project, and then we've got to make good on that for as long as we possibly can, because there's this thought to squeeze out as much ROI as possible, right? But sometimes in our business, still keeping your head above the horizon to see what is out there that can make that next efficient step for your business, that's as important as anything. And I would imagine that the steps you've taken to become more nimble as a larger organization have put you in a position to do those types of things. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I agree, David. And honestly, you know, personally, it's one of the things I love. I think always trying to find that balance and, you know, pragmatism to where, okay, you've made these investments, you want to make sure that you're leveraging and getting that ROI, whether it's financial or just a good benefit to the community. You can measure that somehow. But then also, you've got to continually be putting the periscope up and looking to kind of see where you go next, or you kind of get lost. And I will say, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've never seen it go at the pace that it's going right now. So it kind of brings your point to light even more. You've got to constantly be aware of what's going, where things are going tomorrow. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think the satisfying thing for me is that the work we're doing is just going to result in a better place to live if you're in high temperature.
Well, we certainly appreciate the insight and the effort that you and your staff put forth to ensure that we've got that great care available to us here in the area. And we will look forward to checking in with you periodically to find out what's next over at UNC Health Appalachian. But certainly appreciate your time today and wish you nothing but the best moving forward.
Thank you, Dave.
That does it for this episode of Mind Your Business. Remember to subscribe to this program wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us online at boonchamber.com. So long, everybody.